Tapes and Scouts, a podcast where two friends review every single movie they watch.
Welcome, everybody, to Capes and Scouts.
Woo. Woo.
It's a mini-sode, we think. Could go long, though, and then it's just a sode.
Sode what?
Whoa. I'm Tim.
Cliff.
Olivia.
I'm allowed here, too. I'm Max.
Hey, it is Max.
This isn't my show.
Welcome.
Why'd you guys open the closet?
We're glad you're here.
Oh, good.
Hi, Max.
Hi.
Always happy for more Max.
I always ask Tim for more Max content.
He leaves me in the closet a lot.
I mean, you get Max once a week at least. I mean, come on, guy.
He stores the knife puppies in that closet, by the way.
It's very sharp. Did you feed them today?
No.
Oh.
That's why I'm bleeding.
Oh. I thought you caught the little neighbor kid. Threw him in the closet.
I was bleeding too much. I passed out while I was chasing
him. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize you had passed out.
Yeah, all that blood, that's mine.
Oh. This isn't a red tarp?
No. No, it is not.
Oh. Ouch. Well, if you don't know about the knife puppy, you're not watching Tapes and Scales enough, so get on that.
Please.
So today, we're going to talk about cinema, because we have Max here.
Whoa.
This was Cliff's idea. Cliff, give me the breakdown.
So, I was watching some movies lately, and I realized that there's a handful of movie tropes that just irritate me. So, I decided to have like an idea of like where we'd all get together, talk about like a movie trope, and then gripe about it. So one of us will tell you what our gripe is, the others will listen, and then we'll go around and agree or disagree with the gripe of the trope.
I'll agree to disagree.
Ooh.
Or I'll agree. I don't know.
Oh,
maybe I'll disagree with all of it. Whoa. No, you know what? I'm out of the closet. I love it.
Oh.
Does Sam know?
That I'm out of the closet?
He's lost a lot of blood, so.
I can't be held accountable for what I'm saying.
We'll check in on him later, and then he'll have accountability.
I'm out of the closet.
There it is. So I guess I'll go first, and my first gripe has kind of evolved over the years, which is why I picked it.
Ooh.
So back in the 80s-ish, 90s-ish, this would have been the black guy dies first.
Okay.
Right. I always hated that because, A, it's obvious, and B, it's kind of racist, and it just sucks in general. But I feel like it's evolved now into they don't necessarily die first. It's just we need some sort of foreign character or we need lesbians. And it's like, that's fine. That's absolutely fine. But they write them so incredibly poorly.
Yep.
It's like the movie that we did, Max, the one we talked about, did it air yet? I can't remember. The Door, the one that I did where they had two characters that were lesbians, but the way they wrote them was so atrocious.
Right.
It's like, they could have just, one could have had they could have held hands. They could have put their arm around the other. It's not like, let's just make out on the desk because we're lesbians.
That's, it's like, they're lesbians, so they're automatically like nymphomaniacs. Like, it's just, ugh.
So it went from kind of a racist thing and like a silly thing. I guess directors are like, I got to kill my black guy, right? And then now it's turned into inclusion, but not the right way, is how I feel.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I agree with your gripe of that trope.
Thank you. Hooray.
Yep.
So it's a you got 3 points.
I got 3 points. Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah. Everything's made up and the points don't matter.
Exactly.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't get anything for having the most points at the end.
But no, I agree with you. I think it's really atrocious. And then like they tried to make fun of it. If you remember like a good example of Scream 2.
Right.
Where it's, I think Bill Bellamy is the character who's Gale Weathers' cameraman and he just leaves when all the shit starts going down. He's like, I'm out of here, white people. And he just leaves and it's like, okay.
I wonder how Bill Bellamy's doing right now.
I'm sure doing great.
Probably.
Shout out to Bill Bellamy.
Hey, Bill.
All right, I guess I'll go next. So my first movie trope that I have a gripe with is car chase scenes.
Wait a minute.
Okay.
I get really frustrated when old SUVs keep up with hypercars on freeways. Like, there's no traffic or anything, and this, like, 1974 Suburban is keeping up with, like, a Lamborghini.
Yeah.
That bothers me, and, like, a lot of movies, like, show it where it's, like, the big truck is keeping up with this tiny little car, or also factored in is like when the same car, like identical cars are racing and they overtake and pass each other.
Right.
That's not how that would work. They're the same car. They'd go the same speed.
What?
Right.
Wait, I don't think you know how NASCAR works.
But like, I think a couple movies have done it well. Like, I like the car chase scene in Bourne Identity with like the Mini Cooper. Like, he's going to have a hard time outrunning police cars in an original Mini, but, like, using, like, the abilities of the car makes sense in that.
Agreed.
So So that's where I stand with car chase scenes.
I definitely agree with you. That's why I like a lot of like the 70s. They did a lot of chase movies and like they were so much better.
French Connection, Vanishing Point.
All of those.
The original Gone in 60 Seconds.
So good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the remake was at least fun.
I'd heard that about the original. It's like, it's so good. Have you seen the original clip?
I have not.
It's like just this endless movie of like guy steals car, runs around, crazy shit happens, falls out of car, goes and steals other car. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. It's just like, this is just nonstop. There's kind of no story, just cars doing crazy shit, the movie.
Right.
It's wild. But yeah, I agree with you. I think that you need to think out what you're going to do in the movie and not just be like, that looks cool, we'll have it do that.
Right.
Or we need this, so it's just, you know what I mean? Or what, like, you're picking it for visual purposes, I guess, or like, it's bigger, it's more intimidating that way. It's just like, that doesn't exactly make sense.
Or at least explain why that, like, briefly, like, oh, you know, the fast car has a flat tire.
Yes.
It's obviously going to drive slower. Perfect. You've already cleared it up. They have a flat tire. That's why this big truck can keep up with them.
Exactly.
Like it's a small detail that can fix it instantly.
Yeah. It needs to be a story point or it doesn't. A good example of one where they use that effectively is one of Steven Spielberg's very first movies. It's called Duel. It came out pre-Jaws. It's about a guy who is trying to go around a big rig, and he goes around and the big rig just inexplicably starts chasing him. And the big rig is like horrifying, and right. It can keep up with his car, which is not like an amazing car, right. But more towards a high-end luxury or sport car.
But you don't think of a big rig breaking 80.
Right. And it's just like this, like they're, like you said, they're, it's thought out because certain things happen and like he makes the car do things that pushes the car too much. And then he's able to pick back up. And gotcha. It's like, it's really well addressed. But then when they just inexplicably, it's like, it's a bus, but it can go, you know what I mean?
Right.
Well over 100 miles an hour. It's like, that doesn't make sense.
Right.
I'm going to love it when Hollywood listens to you, fixes this, and then our gripe will be, not every tire can be flat.
I think a movie that does a really good job with the car stuff that's very recent, if you haven't seen it, I know we've talked about it on the show already, is Baby Driver.
I love that movie.
So good.
That movie is amazing.
It's so good.
And like, I'm fine with that. Where, like, if you have a lesser car, but you are an exceptionally skilled driver, you are going to beat somebody that has no idea what they're doing.
Right.
If you're going around turns or anything like that, it doesn't matter what you're driving. If you know how to drive, you can beat somebody in a city.
Exactly. And it just, they did a nice job of being him being able to do that, where it's like, I'm going to lose them with beside two cars that look the same,
right.
Where I'm going to do this maneuver that puts me to a point they can't easily get over or down this alley.
Right.
Like it's really smart more than it is anything else.
Right.
It mm-hmm. wasn't like it was just, this vehicle is insanely powerful.
Right. And they picked a car that could do all the stuff that he did.
Yes. Which I think Edgar Wright was very specific about.
Yeah.
Which is great. My trope, oh, I'm skipping Olivia.
Did you agree with me or not? I'm looking at Olivia.
Sure, yeah.
So I got three imaginary points.
She was sick of hearing about car chases. I thought she was asleep.
All right. I'll start with this one's not like necessarily like something I hate. It's just something that's like, it's really silly and confusing, but it's mostly silly. So it's when a side, not necessarily the main character, but like a character in a movie is like some big burly man and he's in a stressful situation and then he starts like gobbling down on his prescription pills, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about?
He's just stressed out. Like I think another good one is when you see a character in a movie who's stressed out and they go and they're like, I'm so frazzled. And they go in the bathroom and they splash water on their face. How many times in your life have you splashed water on your face because you're stressed?
Yeah,
right.
That's another one. No, but like I thought about, I think more recently me and Cliff watched Sin City.
Mm.
Like just went back to watch that, which
I had never seen it.
Wasn't good the second time, by the way. But
books are great.
I think like Mickey Rourke's character was just like gobbling down his pills.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and it's like all going down this like his face. And I'm like, what?
That is how I take my pills every morning, just so you know. Like,
first of all,
my cats love it.
What kind of pills are they? Like, is that going to harm you later? What's going on?
In Sin City, there were red blue pills because they needed them to be visually interesting in the scene.
And then, like, another scene that comes to mind is in Dumb and Dumber, when, like, the big guy's, like, tagged along with them, and then they like put like spicy stuff on a sandwich or something like that, and then
he has the heart attack.
Yeah,
and they give him like 50,000 rat poison pills.
Oh yeah, because he needs his pills.
Yeah,
which he gobbles them down without any water or anything.
It is weird that it's like when I'm stressed out, I have to take my pills like a cartoon character.
Right. And she's stress pills.
Yeah. You know I'm stressed out because I'm taking them like this.
Right. I agree with you.
I also agree with you.
It is something ridiculous that no one does in real life.
Yes. Right.
Also, sick pull.
Yeah.
I like that. You went deep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you did that one, because mine's, like yours, kind of a non-specific thing, but it drives me, like, it doesn't drive me crazy, but I hate it when they use it because I feel like it's lazy, is when a character approaches another character or two at exactly the wrong moment. Like, the girl falls down, and so the boy character picks her up because she fell down, and the other girl character's like, oh no, I'm looking at this right now, and he clearly loves her.
Right.
Yep.
And it's like, oh no. The, like, bad timing trope drives me crazy, because we just need a reason for this character to be mad for a while. Yeah. So we're going to have them comedically misunderstand what's happening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh no, there's other ways you can do it.
It's really bad.
That and, like, anything that's miscommunication that could be cleared up in, like, literally one sentence, but none of the characters are saying it.
Yep, we're going to avoid this very obvious question because we need this to carry us into Act 2.
It's like that meme with the couple, like, where the woman's laying there. He's probably thinking of other women.
Yes.
And, like, he's there, and my favorite one is, like, why are we trying to sleep with the light on?
Yeah. That's it. It's just that kind of, like, that feels like, and they use it all the time. One, it's not a movie, but something that is very bad about it, and they do it nearly once every season, is Stranger Things. I love Stranger Things, and they do that trope almost every single season.
Well, they're homaging the 80s.
Ooh. They are a lot of times, because you get those sweet montages, like just like the music from Scarface and stuff. But that one's just, it's like, it doesn't feel like it's homage. It just feels like they literally need a reason for Eleven to be pissed off for a minute so she doesn't hang out with Mike, because then the problem would just be solved in an episode.
Right. Yeah. Well, they got to make 7 episodes.
I know. Exactly that many, because when they added the one, nobody liked it.
That one episode is so bad. Who let her go anywhere by herself?
Right, exactly.
Look what happened.
That's it. You nailed it.
She was in a New Order video, I think. It was bad. So I agree with you.
Yeah, no, I'm on board.
Nice pull.
Yeah.
All right, it's not something like both your ones you guys said are not something that I thought of. Like, now it's something I will notice in every single
movie. Yeah. Sorry about that.
It's okay.
All right, well, we're going back to me, and mine can be the writer's fault or just the studio's fault in general, and the need to create trilogies. I hate why? I don't need 3 of everything.
Can I expand this to also now cinematic universes?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's Marvel's fault, but, you know.
Except for the Fast and the Furious, because that's perfect.
I was really excited when they announced the idea of Marvel being like, we're going to do this, like, if you recall, I mean, I don't think anybody's going to recall, but if you're aware of the fact, when you used to go see a movie, you didn't just see a film. I'm talking, like, in the 20s and the 30s, you know what I mean? Like, this era. You went and saw a film, and you got to see the news, and you saw a cartoon, and you saw something that were called serials before the film, which was, like, and Indiana Jones is heavily based on serials, where it's like these kind of lightly episodic pieces that go together, just mostly overarching by a character or a theme. And I loved the concept that, like, Marvel was like, we're going to do this, but, like, for real. So it's like, oh my God, it's exactly how a comic book would work. This is great. Mm-hmm. And now, all these years later, it's just like, please kill me if somebody announces they're going to do a cinematic universe.
Right. I mean, I agree. Marvel's been a lot. But it's been going, it's kind of like, it's good, bad, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'd rather have it, but I definitely see the problems with it.
Like everything, right? You get that ripoff syndrome where it's like, it's working for them, we're going to do it. It's like, no, it worked for them because they thought about what would be the best thing for what they had.
I'm kind of there with you, like, halfway, because there's a handful of movies that have come out that I'm so glad they've turned into, like, a universe.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the big one, like, out now is, like, John Wick.
I knew it.
Like, I'm so glad that is, like, a thing, but it's contained in itself. Like, I find, like, that the world is interesting, and in those movies where it's like they don't really give you any backstory about how anything works or why it works the way it does, and they're like, you don't need to know, it's not really important, like, there's currency, There it is.
They wouldn't explain it. If it were, like, you know what I mean? Like, the slice of life, you wouldn't, John Wick wouldn't be like, ah, let me go find my buried gold coins.
Right.
Buried gold coins are worth this much on the hitman market.
Right.
Like, that just doesn't make sense. You know what I mean? Like, but just not explaining. It's like, what the hell is that? And then it carried over into the second one. It's just like, whoa, now the stakes are higher because there's some kind of blood thing that they, I mean, like, what is this? Right. And then the third one happened.
I loved the third one. I'm so excited for the fourth one.
The third one of John Wick felt like Iron Man 2 to me, where it just felt like they were more concerned about what was coming through that vessel than they were about making that film.
Plus, you started with, like, the greatest knife fight ever.
Yeah. I'm stoked for the fourth one. Like, where the third one ended, I was hyped for I can't wait for the next one.
Yeah.
But just the third one as a film, after the second one, I was stoked.
Right.
And I was like, man, I'm pretty let down. Like, this didn't seem nearly high stakesy enough.
I think that they've gone downhill. Like, I think the first one is the best.
Yes.
Second one, third one. And I think the fourth one will be better than the third one.
I agree. I hope. I agree with that assessment. I think it feels like it will be.
But, like, that, I guess, is, like, an honor. So, yeah, I more agree with you than I disagree with you.
Yeah. Like the Universal Monsters. Why?
Yeah.
Why? I bet you forgot that was one, because that was horrible.
It didn't do very well.
None of them did.
Yeah.
Oh.
And that Wolfman, he had nards.
You know, no, he didn't.
Oh.
I contend he did not. He was nardless.
Nardless.
Boo. But yeah, I agree with you. We need to have, everything needs to be a franchise. Everything needs to be a thing. They did it when they rebooted Leprechaun.
Oh, yeah.
For goodness sake. Speaking of wrestlers and movies.
There it is. Swoggle. Yep. What's up? I own that on DVD. Thank you.
It wouldn't be bad, except for their huge bastardization of Irish lore, where they're just like, we're going to ignore what everything is. It's a leprechaun now.
Well, yeah, but I mean, come on, man. They're on, like, their 11th one or something.
That's not too far off.
They're like, no one's listening at this point. Just make the movie.
The character's been in the hood multiple times, so.
That's one of my favorite ones, though.
Back to the Hood is surprisingly fun.
It's so weird.
Agreed.
Is that the first? Does the first one have Ice-T or the second?
The second one.
That's the one I like.
Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong out there. Don't eviscerate me for that. But I'm pretty sure it's Back to the Hood.
Eviscerate him in all our comments sections everywhere and on Apple Podcasts, please.
Yeah. Can't hurt me. I live in a closet full of puppies with knives attached to them, so.
Beautiful puppies.
Yeah, they are beautiful puppies. They will cut you.
All different breeds.
Yep.
All right. So I guess it's I'm up. I guess for me, the next one is the endless quiver idea for, like, people with guns.
Mm.
Where, like, they have a pistol and they all never reload it and they just shoot 400,000 bullets out of their pistol, or like somebody has like an assault rifle and they're running around and they never reload, and it's just like an endless stream of bullets coming out of that gun.
I loved that they addressed that so well in the first Deadpool, where he's literally counting the bullets out as he's going through the scene. Is magnificent.
Yep.
Yeah.
And like for myself, like I started playing Escape from Tarkov, which is like just getting kicked in the junk repeatedly while playing, but like I have a better understanding of like how guns and guns work now.
Yeah.
So like it's frustrating when I see somebody pick up like what is a semi-automatic, like tiny little gun, and they're like sniping people from the hip, just blind firing 50 million rounds and like mowing everyone down with precision accuracy. That's not how that works.
Nope.
So yeah, just like the endless quiver thought for like rounds. And like we were just talking about, John Wick addresses that well. Like he's constantly reloading. Like
love that.
Like running out of rounds.
Throwing clips in people's faces. Right. Checking them for clips. Like, oh, it's so good. I love that.
Having gone back and watched so many 80s movies for the podcast, I've definitely noticed what they did to get around that. The good movies anyways was like just have a bunch of dumb henchmen and just steal their gun.
Yeah.
Like you see that a lot.
Yep.
And it led to way more creative scenes and more, you know, goons and high tier goons, and I love goons.
Yeah. No, it's just, and I think when they do it well, that's such a, in an action movie, that's a stress point. Like everybody has a gun. I have very limited resources with the gun I have. That's scary. Like that makes for an interesting bit of tension in the film. And I feel like that just gets overlooked a lot. It's like, no, we just need the character to have 7 bullets right now. It's like, but okay. Right. And it feels like that gets lost. I bet you the writer probably thought about it, but the director just didn't care because like it's so much cooler when there's just muzzle flash everywhere.
Right. Well, we were just started watching Watchmen, like the HBO series. And like, there's a scene where he's got like a 50s style, like six shooter. And it's like, I'm counting like 1, 2, 6. He pulls the trigger and it doesn't fire. I was like, thank God. Like,
Watchmen was pretty sweet.
I gotta watch it. I picked it up on DVD on Black Friday for like nothing. Walmart had the whole series for like $8 or something.
Oh my God,
so cheap. Yeah,
that's so worth it.
Yep,
it's been really good.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I've heard. But
it's good.
Yeah, I agree that that trope is a big one. And then you have like stormtrooper syndrome, which is kind of related, where it's the I'm going to fire 5 feet behind the person while they're running and make sure I never aim in front of them. I just watched The Mandalorian last night, and that was a... Are you guys watching Mandalorian?
I gave up in the, gave halfway up on, through the first season.
Yeah, so the second season introduces it, something I won't spoil it for everybody out there who's not expecting a random Mandalorian spoiler, but there's a point where a character's running across a ridge, and the stormtrooper has essentially what is a minigun... a blaster minigun, and they're just tearing the rock apart behind the person, but continuously, and I kid you not, for like 3 seconds of running, are shooting 5 to 8 feet behind the character, even though they're clear, that's a rock, they're on a rock, they can't move around.
Right.
There's this much room to run. I'm holding my hands about a foot apart. And that's it. Just aim in front. They're dead now, stormtroopers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, stormtroopers.
Oh, my God. That drove me nuts. That was really... And they get the pass on, like, the bullet syndrome, but they certainly make up for it with the world's poorest aim syndrome.
Yeah.
Hate that.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like you guys are all on board.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Count, please.
Olivia?
Okay. So, here's one that's just very overused, and it's when the... lead female character calls off the wedding at the altar.
Mm. Don't you talk about Sex in the City like that in front of me.
Yep. That's, I mean, yeah. It's like, you see it in like every romance movie. It's just, it's very common. It's overused and yeah, just stop.
It's also like used poorly. Because it's like, you know, maybe before I get married, I do want to bang Ted. It's like, really? That's what you're fucking thinking about?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I always thought that to be silly.
And I it's a frustrating thing to see. Because like, I'm sure it happens in real life. But the rate that it happens in these movies
is like it happens every day.
It kind of feels like, could you imagine? So imagine you're married. Imagine that happened to you. That would be like a singular dark moment in your life.
Yeah.
And just for them to use it and as like, the kickstart to a rom-com is freaking ridiculous.
Yeah.
And like so much wasted money.
Yeah.
And planning.
Right.
And all
the
stuff.
Or it's just it's how the rom-com ends.
Like, right.
Oh, she really wasn't right for him.
Yep.
It was Ted.
Yeah.
Ted tried like, hard, you know?
Not only did you waste money, but like you wasted everybody's time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Not going to your second wedding.
No. My great aunt flew in from out of state for this.
Right. Nobody likes Ethel either, and she's here.
She's
right.
here.
She is here.
Yeah, it's just super frustrating. It's just, I mean, like, I feel like it makes light of a situation that's not funny at all. Like, that would be brutal. And it's just like, but we need it, because, you know, you have to know.
And that's... everyone that's there is always like, oh, that's great that she's with them. Like, no, they'd all be pissed off, too.
Yeah. Yeah, everybody would be mad.
Unless they'd
eat free food, but... Yeah, right.
If it's Rob Lowe, they'll be like,
well,
no.
He loses out in Invention of Lying.
Oh,
that was they had that moment in Invention of Lying.
Yeah,
really
yeah.
interesting.
Yeah, it's tough when that
where that movie kind of went downhill for me.
Yeah,
I see.
Because often, just this trope just isn't done well.
No, I can't think of the times it is done well. That's how much it's done poorly.
It's when the bride is thinking about it. You know the gears are turning in her head, and then she takes out her pills and she starts
tagging them like a goon. Yeah,
and then you know something. I think something is up.
Right.
You should probably talk to her before she goes up there and says something wild.
Right.
And she goes to tell the husband how she feels, and he's adjusting the bridesmaid's dress, and she's like, "No, that pig."
Yeah.
If you just had a conversation with him, you'd know he also wants to have sex with Ted.
Yeah.
Right. Everyone can get in on Ted.
That's right.
You're missing a great opportunity, lady.
Yeah, there's so many of those movie trips, and I think that's the thing is, I think it's a good illustration of those little things that come up, and you're just, it kind of soils the experience of the film a little bit. It's just like, man, if you had taken a point in the writing process, which is one of the most inexpensive points in the filmmaking process, to go, you know what, let's divert away from this. It would have made everything much, you could have came up with a more elegant solution to your bullet issue instead of just, well, he's got extra bullets.
Right.
It's like, you could have come up with a more elegant solution to solving the problem. It could be a more interesting hook than just, and she leaves him at the altar. It just, you know, I mean, like, I understand, like, you want to make it interesting or make it visually, you know what I mean, like, you want to get into the story or you want to hit a hard emotional arc, but don't do that. The horror does this a lot with the killer's so scary he will kill animals or children. which are usually like safe zones in horror, which I'm fine if there's a child that need, like, you know what I mean? Like a child crosses this killer's path and they're just killing people. Okay. That's brutal. But we need to, there's no need for it. Like you go out of your way to kill a dog or, you know what I mean? To kill a child because you're so ruthless.
See, not the child, but kill a dog and I'm out.
Right.
I'm out of it.
But there are movies where a character can kill a dog and you feel like, okay, you know what? Like that character is like, we're portraying how messed up it is. And I'm not defending it, but I think a good use of it is American Psycho, where you have to know how disturbed Patrick Bateman really is. You don't know until that point when he curb stomps that dog.
Right.
Which is brutal.
Right.
Oh, the movie Fear. Oh,
yeah.
That bugged me.
Mm-hmm.
It worked for what they were doing.
Yeah. But if you're gonna raise the stakes and you're gonna go into or like unspeakable acts like rape or something like that, if you're gonna do it and you need to do it, you better have a damn justifiable reason that you're going to do this. Otherwise, come up with something more. You can come up with a more creative solution that sells how awful somebody is. Because think about some of like the worst villains. They don't do anything. The Joker didn't do anything like that.
Right.
And he's one of the most like abhorrent villains. Yeah. He's one of the most abhorrent villains because. But he never had to do anything like that. Like, you just don't need it. Like, even we all know that, like, Freddy Krueger was a child molester. They don't ever say that mm-hmm. in the first movie. You just know that he may have been involved in child murders, possibly. They expanded upon it to make him worse and worse. But in the first one, you don't know much, and you're just like, wait a second, why aren't they really talking about this? The lack of talking about it makes it way worse.
Right.
So it's like, you can really go about handling this in a much better way than just being like, look how ruthless he is. He murdered 6 dogs and 5 kids, and he raped that guy's wife. Ted's gonna be pissed.
Right. He's gotta spit on that grave. He needs motive.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like, that's a real rough one for me. And it's just like, again, you take something that would be, if you were raped or you know what I mean? If you lost a child or even when a pet dies, especially if you had like a pet that got hit by a car or something like that, that's really tragic. And to just kind of ignore all that just to be like, well, you have to know he's a bad guy though. It's like, wrong. You're lazy. That's lazy. And
it's the worst way to show that he's a bad guy.
Yeah. It's just lazy writing. Leaving them at the altar. Oh, well, she's really upset or we really need to not like the character. Come make me not like that character. Do right. better. Right. Write better character. Mm-hmm. You write good more.
Attorney at law. You write good more.
So was that yours also?
Yeah, I'm just piggybacking. I didn't write any of these down. I could gripe about movies. For you want to hear Max gripe about movies, you write to mad_dog_Tim.
That's me.
On the Twitter. Tell him, I need more Max griping.
More Max griping.
More?
I do, and this is I guess some movies do this, and I wrote it as pointless scenes and time wasting.
Mm.
And I feel like, so... But I'm more specific, like, you could just be a bad first-time director, there's so many scenarios, but I'm kind of leaning towards the people who want to be Scorsese but aren't, and they're like, yeah, man, we got to have all these scenes left and right of, like, what's going on. It's like, no, man, things can be implied.
Yep.
For sure.
We saw this, it was a big resurgence of that in the late 90s, early 2000s, because of the popularity of Tarantino. And Kevin Smith, mm-hmm. where it's just like, oh, dudes can just talk, and we can make a movie out of that? Like,
right. Ooh. Yeah, it's not good. Not everybody's Scorsese, so please don't.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, there's times Scorsese bores me.
Oh, yeah.
So
I was bored to death through Irishman.
I was going
to
say The Irishman
was boring.
Long.
Yeah, that felt longer than it was long.
Yep. I mean, we've griped on the podcast ad nauseum about movies that are an hour and 21 minutes. And it's just like, this movie felt like it was 7 hours long.
Yeah, well, that movie was 7 hours long, and it felt longer than that.
Exactly. And it's just like, oof, like, you got to understand your pace. You have to understand what's important to what's serving the story and or developing the character. If it's not doing either one of those things, you need to go back and revisit the scene. If it's just doing those because you have the opportunity to, again, like we were just talking about with the other two scenarios, don't do it. Come up with a more creative way to display. You can show Tim in this instance a bad guy because he walks by somebody who's dropped their groceries and he just walks by them.
Right.
He doesn't have to say a word. That's a second of film and you know Tim's a dick because he didn't help them with their groceries.
Right. She was an old lady. I saw it.
Yeah.
She had it coming.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's it, right?
I'm actually a really bad guy. I'm playing a long game. You don't want to know. It's bad.
And that's,
I'm going to kick her dog.
See, it just
right.
All that could play out just be through being implied. You don't need to explain every piece of it. You don't need to have dialogue to explain, like, man, I really hope I run into an old lady because I ain't helping her pick up her groceries. I'll tell you that much.
I like the thing that, like, animes will do a lot is it's all in, like, the character's eyes.
Yes.
Where, like, if you can't see their eyes, they're generally a nefarious character, or if they have glasses that are obscuring their eyes. It's like,
yeah.
Oh, like, ooh, that guy's going to do something that's not cool. At some point.
Yep.
Why is the dog evil, Homer? It's got the shifty eyes.
That episode ending with the dog with the shifty eyes was amazing.
Brilliant.
So good.
Yes.
Now, on the other hand, a great use of showing you somebody's evil, the Dennis the Menace movie.
Christopher Lloyd?
Christopher Lloyd, besides looking scuzzy as all hell.
Yes.
He looks like his character from Taxi, just like really left out in the rain.
Yeah.
But when he steals the kid's apple with a knife and eats his apple, is all he does, and you're like, oh yeah, he's going to be the bad guy.
Yeah.
Like, he could have just been like a homeless guy in the background.
Yep.
But no. And I don't know why that always stuck with me, but I was like, that's such a good example. Like, he stole that kid's apple.
And that's all he had to do, right? He walks by, steals the apple, eats it. That's it. That's...
He doesn't even say anything. No. He just grossly eats an apple.
Yep.
Christopher Lloyd, great.
Absolutely.
So I got one more.
All right.
And it's like when good guys in a movie decide to go against their moral compass because of some small, insignificant point in a film. So like in Fast Five has that in it.
Oh.
Where The Rock is like the valet good guy, right? He's trying to go after the bad guys. Well, he realized like somebody in his team gets hurt. He's like, well, you know what? I'll team up with these bad guys because they're also getting after these bad guys that hurt my friend. Like, you just spent the whole movie saying you were going to murder them all. And now you're friends.
My family.
The other one that bothers me a lot is the Martha in Batman vs. Superman. Yeah. Our moms have the same name. Oh, we're friends now.
That is in the top. That is in my bottom three worst films ever made.
Yeah, that's fair.
It is a horrendous pile of crap.
But like that scene is like
awful.
Right.
Awful.
And I guess that goes into like the shit writing, like the leaving somebody at the altar. You could have come up with a way better way for them to make up than somebody Batman grumbling Martha, or who was it? Superman.
I don't even remember.
Superman grumbles Martha, and Batman's like, Martha, that's my mom's name.
Why'd you say that name?
Yeah, the good guy turning like his moral compass around on some tiny insignificant detail.
Yeah, exactly. If you're building up to it, it makes sense, but you know, none of these really make sense. He had to team up with the Vin Diesel crew in the movie because they're the ones we're rooting for, so right. Now we need to root for all of them. Like, right. We have to do... I mean, like, I think one of the things that takes that specific arc and does it amazing, I was going to say fantastically, it's a little too on the nose, is Fantastic Four.
There you go.
They have to team up with Doctor Doom.
Right.
What? That's mind-boggling. Like, they don't team up.
Right.
Which is just... But that's... There is a reason now. There's a common enemy. We have to come together and
it's
fight.
It's not because they both had the same mom.
Correct.
It's like, this is ultimately, we need to work together. This is greater than our differences.
Yes, exactly.
That's fine. That makes sense.
Yep, let's put our bullshit aside. Deal with this other bullshit. Then we can pick our bullshit back up over here.
I always loved it in the FF comics when they did that because Doom would just bitch about Richards the whole time.
Yes.
But they would be doing it. They'd be working together and he's just like, Richards, you moron.
Yeah, that's so great. Dr. Doom's great.
Oh, yes. He's the best.
But yeah, no, totally agree with you that just turning on a dime because we need this to happen now,
right.
That feels like we're on our fifth rewrite of the script. We can't come up with anything better, so therefore this is happening now.
Right. Got to stick the landing.
Yep.
What you got, Olivia?
I got a few more.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm out of them, so
I am also out of them.
Well, this one's kind of silly, which is, I guess, is mostly used as a joke now, sort of. But maybe it's still used today. I don't know. But it's when a character becomes like an expert level at something after only like a 1 minute training montage.
My goodness. Wait till you see Bleach. There are four montages. Imagine how good he becomes.
So this is like a la like Karate Kid or something, like anything like that. Yeah. It's another one of those things like, okay, that's not how life works.
You want to see more struggles.
Yeah. Not everyone is a savant.
Yeah.
I mean, in Hercules, he does it in like a montage and a half.
Right. That movie's great.
I love that movie. Zero to hero in no time flat. They just put a pin on it.
Right. He's also the, like, you know, a god.
Yes.
So that makes sense.
Yeah. No, it and you're absolutely right. It's just montage as a passage of time is a brilliant thing that you only get in cinema. You can't create a montage in a book. You can't create a montage in music. You only have a montage in a film. So it's cool that it's like relegated to this one thing. But I mean, since South Park nailed it with the montage song.
Yeah.
That explains it all. It's a passage of time. We watch this person get better. It's just, again, not necessarily an interesting way to do it. It's like, I get it. We need to see that the person, time has passed and they have practiced. But like, I think a movie that does that pretty well is Django Unchained. Where it's like, it was a long, tough winter, but they practiced. And again, they make it like this obnoxious version of a montage where it's just not even like, it's not overlapping fades and things. It's just your little scene real quick. And they practiced. Here's them collecting a bounty over here. It's like so cheeseball that it's like, they nailed it.
The montage in the one episode of Mandalorian that I checked out on was like when they're on the random planet and they train all the farmers to fight everyone. Like, I was like, I'm out. Like, that's what it lost me. Like, they trained some farmers overnight to defeat trained soldiers and all they had were like sticks.
Yep.
Like, that frustrated me.
They were pointy sticks, okay? You should have stuck around.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a Seven Samurai is what it is. Like,
right.
They've been leaning on the Kurosawa stuff really hard in Mandalorian. Cause it's like, everybody's like, oh, the Mandalorian's a sci-fi Western. I'm like, you are wrong. It is a sci-fi samurai film. Well, I mean, all of our Westerns are kind of jacked from Kurosawa anyway. But I think they do a much better job in season two than season one, having now slogged through... I felt like season one, I think you nailed it. It's a bit of a slog, which is like, it's tropey. And
yeah, I checked out after that episode. Yeah, that's where I stopped watching.
Yeah, understandable. I think by the time they get to season two, they actually kind of figured out what the show needs to feel like, and they actually have picked up the ball quite a bit, I think.
The world building in that show is bonkers. All the callbacks to all the other media of Star Wars. I love it.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But you got to love Star Wars or love samurai Westerns.
Yeah.
Because that's what it is. Mm.
But I don't think it's silly. I think it's poignant that... Yeah. We're done with the training montage these days.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just it has to be done right.
Yeah. You got it. Yeah. Somebody's like, if you watch the first like hour of the movie, they're trying to do a thing. We're like Karate Kid's, I think, an example of a successful one where it's like, why am I waxing your cars and washing the floor and whatever else he's doing, painting fences and house. And then he's just like, you're an idiot. Watch this.
Right.
And then it's like, okay, now you've learned how to block. Now we need to teach you how to punch. And the punching's just done over the montage. I think it works because you spent the first, half an hour previous watching him just do menial chores and get pissed off, which Ralph Macchio is so good at being whiny in that movie. That's terrific.
Movie?
Now show?
Yeah.
Cobra Kai season 3 coming back. Can't wait.
I hope it's better than season 2.
I liked season 2 up until the end where it was High School the Musical Karate Edition, which made me laugh really hard, so I gave it a pass.
This is like way off topic, but I felt when they brought back his old mentor, it really messed with the show.
I agree.
I feel like the show is so much better without the old mentor in it than with him.
Cliff, we can't do Doctor Doom teams up with the Fantastic Four unless there is a Galactus.
Uh-huh. Well, they can both be unhappy that their children want to bang.
Yeah, that's kind of pretty much exactly what's happening. I'm still going to watch it. I'm going to love every minute of it. I don't even care. Guilty pleasure. Bring it on.
So, Max, do you have one more to round us out?
I sure don't. But Olivia said she has several.
Rapid fire us.
Speaking of Star Wars...
Oh, yeah. How far away is a galaxy?
When, the main character and an antagonist, like, turns out that they're related.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's spoilers.
Yeah.
Cobra Kai!
What's the next thing
you got? Obvious.
Yeah.
The chosen one trope.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that's...
Hercules. There's just a lot.
That movie's great.
No, not the movie. I mean the story of Hercules. That's kind of that's it, right?
Yeah, it's in a lot of like fantasy sci-fi stuff where this character's the chosen one.
But not really, because the guy who has been fighting the whole time and getting dirty to protect you, he's the chosen one.
It's never the first chosen one. It's always like the second one.
Yeah. We'll take that guy.
You were the chosen one, Anakin.
Or like,
right.
They have untapped magic or potential.
Oh, Gohan.
Harry Potter.
Oh, yeah, Gohan.
Naruto.
Yep, yep.
Endless supply of ability to create more of himself.
Yeah, he's been an outcast his whole life, but he learned this forbidden jutsu in the first three episodes.
Right. He doesn't know how to do anything, but he can make 450,000 of himself.
And he can turn himself into a sexy lady girl.
Yes.
That's a fun ability.
That's real weird.
It is.
I love Naruto, though. Again, just love it.
I loved it.
Yeah, me too.
And the last one is, it's a very famous scene from Indiana Jones where he's, like rolling under the closing door and he like leaves his hat and he grabs his hat real quick before it crushes him.
Yep.
Where that, a version of that just makes it into like every like action movie.
Yep.
Yeah, because we're left kind thinking like, this isn't as good as Indiana Jones.
Precisely. Don't do it.
I guess as like an homage to it, but... it's done a lot.
I actually have a wrestling thing that applies to this. Somebody was saying that they could jump up to the... they would jump up at, like, an indie show. They would jump up to the ring like Brock Lesnar does, just straight up to the ring. And he just kept getting yelled at. And they're like, why? He's like, why are you yelling? He goes, no one is thinking about you. Everyone is thinking about Brock Lesnar. You're an idiot. Just enter the ring like a normal person.
Yep. Well, that's it, right? It's just, it got famous because he was like, hey, this is a slightly off-kilter idea. Mm-hmm. Let me do that. But Indiana Jones... and what's cool is they got to tie that in the third movie where it's like the hat had a story to it and everything. So you got to expand the character because the hat became an important thing. That's interesting. But just doing it because, like you said, you want to Oma. I loved Indiana Jones. Yeah, so did I. Cool. Like, that's great. I don't wear a fedora. I love Indiana Jones, too.
Hey, but you did need to be reminded of Indiana Jones while watching this movie that you're also enjoying.
Right. Exactly. And that was, I think, a good example of exactly what you're talking about is Neil Marshall said this on the commentary for the movie Doomsday, which I love Doomsday. But he was just like, people hated this movie because it was Excalibur and Mad Max mushed together. And he was like, I love those movies. And I thought it'd be really cool to create a sci-fi world that was half Excalibur, half Mad Max. And he's like, apparently everybody just thinks you're ripping those movies off when you try to homage them. And it's just like, well, kind of, yeah. Like, it's pretty much it. Yeah. Like, I mean, like coming up with something original helps, but I think he did a good job of explaining why they existed, but I think nobody was going to give it a chance based on the trailer. It's just like, you watch it and you're just like, okay, John Borman, and you know what I mean? Like, what are you doing?
Right.
I don't know, Excalibur, dude.
Well, apparently too, like, sure. What you were saying with the wrestling, like, Andre used to be the only one that would step over the top rope. Mm-hmm. He was the only one that's allowed to do it, and it was, Big John Studd did it at a match, and he started beating actually beating him up in the ring. And like, John Studd was like, what, 6'8"?
He's huge.
Like 6'8", almost 400 pounds. Like giant, like not heavy set, like just a huge, large man.
He was a brick of a dude.
And he was getting the crap beat out of him. He ran out of the ring scared. Like, that's not how the match was supposed to end.
Right.
He ran away because he was getting clobbered because he stepped over the top rope and he wasn't supposed to do that. Andre the Giant does that.
Right.
Yep.
Yep.
Know your damn role.
Anybody want a peanut?
I love that movie.
It's real good. You'll get no complaints about that from me.
Well, thanks for griping with me, guys.
Yeah.
Gripecast.
This is an un-minisode, but I had a good time.
I'll split it in two.
Ooh.
No, I won't.
Oh.
You tricked me. But if you want more content like this, let us know, people. Go over to your Apple Podcast, give us a like, a review, or whatever the hell you do.
A rate and a review.
That's the one.
We need to get on.
Hit the bell. I don't know. I haven't been listening.
We need to become critics on Rotten Tomatoes. Come on, people.
Because only we know what we're talking about.
Yes.
That's right. Nobody else does.
I just need to get out of the closet more, people. Like, just help me out of the closet. I'm literally bleeding to death.
I'll get you more blood, buddy. I'll get you more blood.
That's what you keep saying.